Wednesday, September 4th, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope that your week is off to a great start. We are glad to have you here today, and it is another exciting week in sports because, yes, folks, football is now absolutely back. Woo-hoo! Hey, college football got rolling over the weekend. We actually saw some pretty interesting things taking place. Yes, we had a number of blowouts. We had some games that weren't close. Number one, Clemson just steamrolled Georgia Tech. Number two, Alabama smashed Duke 42-3. We kind of knew that was coming, didn't we? But it wasn't just them. Georgia, LSU, Texas, Washington, Wisconsin, Penn State, a number of teams out there had very, very easy victories in the first full weekend of college football. Like I said, we kind of knew that was coming, didn't we? But we also had a few heavy favorites kind of forced to hold on for dear life this weekend. Number 21, Iowa State, needed not one, not two, but three.
Not four, not five.
No, LeBron, not four or five. They needed three overtimes to finally beat Northern Iowa. And then we saw USC. Yes, Southern Cal lost their starting quarterback, JT Daniels, to a knee injury. He's gone for the year. And USC had to hold on to beat Fresno State. That might not be a good sign for USC this year. I don't know if that's all going to go quite as smooth as everyone was hoping it would. Not a great start for the Trojans. We did also see a few upsets. Georgia State knocks off Tennessee. And it wasn't like some crazy Hail Mary kind of pass. They just smashed them in the mouth and ran the ball right down their throat. Wyoming surprised Missouri. I know over the last few weeks, we've been doing our college football preview here at the Daily Dose. Missouri was a team we were kind of keeping an eye on and saying, hey, they could be dangerous. Not a good start for Missouri, though. And then you saw Boise State come from 18 points down to beat Florida State in Tallahassee. Remember, that game was scheduled to be on a neutral field, sort of, in Jacksonville. That game gets moved to Tallahassee. Florida State jumps on top early. Boise State doesn't flinch. Hank Bachmeyer, the freshman quarterback, just steps in like an old pro and just finds a way to get a big win in Tallahassee. And then we had a wild finish on Saturday night where we saw number 16 Auburn come back to beat number 11 Oregon in the fourth quarter. It was a wild finish. I don't know that Auburn looked great. You could make a case Oregon maybe looked a little bit better than Auburn for most of the game, but all that matters is the final score. And once again, we're looking at the Pac-12 and saying, yeah, I don't know. You're not looking too good. It's not looking great for the Pac-12 right now. Oregon going down. USC struggling. UCLA looking absolutely horrible. It was a fun first weekend of college football. And we have some really good stuff coming this weekend too. Remember, number 12, Texas A&M goes to number 1 Clemson this weekend. Number 24, Nebraska has to come to Colorado. They'll be facing CU up in Boulder. And the big game, LSU goes to Texas. That should be a wild one. But wait, there's more. Don't forget that tomorrow night, the National Football League gets going as the Green Bay Packers go to Chicago to face the Bears and kick off the 100th NFL season. And we've got good NFL games going this weekend. On Sunday, you've got the Atlanta Falcons playing the Minnesota Vikings. Should be an interesting game. The Los Angeles Rams facing the Carolina Panthers. The Pittsburgh Steelers playing the New England Patriots on Sunday night. We've got Monday night games too. It is truly a magical time of the year right now.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
As football gets rolling, baseball, well, it's not interesting yet, but it's starting to get a little bit more interesting. We've got playoff races to keep an eye on. Mostly, we have a wild card race to keep an eye on in baseball, but it is a very exciting time of year in sports, and we are happy to have you here with us today. Hey, if you left contact show, maybe tell us what game you're looking forward to the most this week. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, Or go over and find us on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. If you've got a question, maybe you have a comment. Did you need a little help picking that fantasy football team this last week? Might have been a good time to reach out to the Dose. We would have helped you. We did actually help a few people that requested it with their fantasy football team. A couple of players to look out for. And I know, we don't talk a ton of fantasy football here on the Dose. But if you listen to some of the players and some of the teams we kind of look at, you're probably going to get some fantasy information there, even if we don't talk specifically fantasy. But if you've got a question for us, reach out to us, email us, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We would love to hear what you have to say. Also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some Daily Dose gear. We've got Daily Dose t-shirts over there. We've got hoodies. We've got sweatshirts. You can pick those in whatever color you want with our Daily Dose logo on them. Plus, we've got laptop covers, coffee mugs, stickers, a number of things over at tpublic.com. Just search Daily Dose, scroll down until you see our logo, and click on that. You're going to find exactly what it is that you need. Hey, today on the show, we are going to be bringing you something a little bit different again this week, as we are going to be joined by a longtime friend to preview the 2019 NFL season that does start already tomorrow. Couple of quick stories to touch on before we get to our NFL preview. The Los Angeles Rams signed quarterback Jared Goff to a 4-year extension yesterday, tying him to the team for the next 6 seasons through 2024. Now, Goff had been set to earn $4.3 million this year, and then that number was going to jump up to almost $23 million next year. Of course, last season, Goff, who is only 24 years old, led the Rams to their first Super Bowl appearance since 2001. He has twice been named to the Pro Bowl. Goff is 24-14 as a starter, and he's 24-7 under head coach Sean McVay. But don't you have a few questions about Jared Goff now? I mean, after we saw the way Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots just took everything away from Jared Goff, are you questioning him a little bit? I have a few questions about Jared Goff. I want to see a little bit more from Jared Goff before I would have signed him to that big deal. We'll see if the Rams end up regretting that decision. Hey, they are saying down in Dallas that the Cowboys are very, very close to getting running back Ezekiel Elliott signed to a new deal. Apparently, Elliott actually came back from Cabo San Lucas, where he was supposedly, they say, training in Mexico, and now he is back in Dallas trying to get that deal hammered out. Or, I don't know, maybe Zeke just came back for a change of clothes and maybe pick up some in and out. But they say they are getting close. I really do believe, and we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes, Ezekiel Elliott is so important for those Dallas Cowboys to have in camp, to have ready to go. And I know they're saying he's been training down in Mexico. Hey, until you're taking the hits, until you're having to hold on to that football, until you're getting knocked around, it is not the same no matter how they spin it. The Cowboys need Ezekiel Elliott, but they say they are very, very close now to getting him back in and that he could even be available for week one. We'll keep an eye on what the Dallas Cowboys do. Hey, coming back, we are going to be joined by longtime friend of the show. Yes, Larry is going to stop by, as he usually does, for our 2019 NFL season preview. Hey, Larry's been doing this preview with us for a long time. He'll be with us when we get back, and we are going to be discussing a number of things in the NFL today. Joining us right now is an old pro of these NFL previews. Larry, you have now been doing the NFL preview here on the Daily Dose every fall for a number of years here. Larry, how long have you been doing these? Like 14, 15 years?
It's got to be at least 14, 15.
Something
and
like that.
It goes to show you how much of an expert I really am at
exactly.
This. Yeah. Because you wouldn't have me back if I didn't know what I was talking about, right?
Of course not. We always enjoy doing these shows. Last year, we both picked the Rams versus the Patriots in the Super Bowl. We both said the Indianapolis Colts are going to be better than everyone thinks they are. We both said the Seattle Seahawks were going to be a little bit sneaky. Better keep an eye on those Seahawks. Everybody's counting them out, not us. Not here at the Dose.
No.
We both said Case Keenum wasn't going to be very good here in Denver. We saw it all coming. We even said the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Minnesota Vikings are going to underachieve.
Yes.
We picked that one. Man, we nailed a lot of these things.
I feel so good after the season gets over.
Oh, I know.
Don't you?
Because you just look back and you're check. Told you nailed every one of those. Hey, you can go somewhere else and you can get your hot takes. You can get all that silliness. Or you can come over to the Daily Dose and you can get it right, which is what we've been doing for what, like we said, 14, 15 years.
Something. Bingo. Every year.
Every Count single year. It. Rock solid.
We're like a calendar.
We've got the banners to prove it.
That ain't true!
Larry, the 2019 NFL season, like it's here. It is starting tomorrow already after way, way too long of a preseason. Of course, last year, the New England Patriots win yet another Super Bowl and they're going to be right in again this year, but we have a number of changes this year. We have some new things taking place in the NFL, a couple of things we want to keep an eye on. We have that new pass interference rule.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah.
Because in the preseason, it kind of looks like the refs are just going to go, yeah, whatever we called on the field, that's what we're sticking with. We're not changing anything.
Yeah, we didn't see a lot of reversals, did we?
No.
I don't even know. The coaches are going to be tentative.
Yeah.
You know? Because especially that's a challenge. It still counts as a challenge. So they have to have the eyes up there in the booths and all that kind of stuff to make sure that they get things right. So, you know, it's going to have to be egregious when they throw the flag on one.
Yeah, I think it is. It's going to have to be basically that Saints-Rams play.
Right.
Or else they're not going to turn it over. It's not going to be worth their time to turn it over.
Right.
And I do think there's a feeling among NFL officials kind of that you're not taking this away from us. We're not going to do this. And so I wonder if they're going to be very, very hesitant to overturn many of those like we saw in the preseason because they're just going to go, hey, we're not doing this. We're not going to play this on every single play.
Yeah, I think it's different than like a goal line scoring play, right, where the angles are different. They're just not going to be as many defined angles to really overturn anything because – let's be honest, the scoring plays are the ones that get overturned if they're wrong because every camera is pointed towards the goal line. You toss a ball down 50 yards, there's not, you know, those 10 camera angles on the exact same thing. So you're just not going to have it. So there won't be as, I don't think there's going to be many that are overturned.
Well, and the other thing is when you go and you look at that instant replay, how many times are you going to see the offense pushing off just as much?
Right. Right.
Like, so if you see that hand-to-hand kind of fighting back and forth, how can you possibly overturn anything there? Whatever was called on the field, I think it's going to get stuck with a lot of times.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's a great point. I mean, because you can see on a lot of different replays, offensive, you know, pass interference with just that little push that isn't called ever. Once in a while you see it, but, you know, that's going to be under review too if you challenge, right?
Yeah, I think so. And you could run the risk of – what if they flip this on us and call offensive?
That's right.
So there's a little bit of risk involved there. Not only do we have the pass interference rule, which is going to be at least interesting to keep an eye on, we have some teams out there this year that have not had expectations in the past. You've got teams like the Cleveland Browns. You've got teams like the Oakland Raiders, the New York Jets, the San Francisco 49ers. They haven't been good. And this year, there's a number of people picking those teams and saying, hey, these are contenders. These are playoff teams. We're going to get to each one of the divisions. We're going to talk about all those teams. But when you have expectations, it's way, way different than everyone was just happy if you won any games.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. These are the teams that have had the, you know, a pick in the first five picks of every single draft for the last 15 years.
Yeah, they should be.
I mean, honestly, yeah. Right? I mean, the Cardinals are safe, I still think, this year. They don't have
no expectations.
We're not lumping into that group. But yeah, I mean, these are the teams that have theoretically stockpiled first-round talent. And this year, for whatever reason, it's kind of happening for each one of the teams. So, yeah, pressure is going to be different. We'll totally see what these guys are made of. We'll see it when we talk about our division, our divisions and things like that, where we stack them. But they have a lot to prove.
Yeah, sure. They do. And like we said, sometimes those expectations really change the way your whole team feels. Instead of just being happy, hey, we're 3-2. Everybody's like, oh my God, we're only 3-2.
Right.
And it can change things really, really quick. We can see teams go sideways. We have new coaches. We have players with new teams. It's going to be a really fun season. And again, here at The Dose, we try to look into our crystal ball, tell our listeners exactly what's going to happen, but we have to do it like 5 months in advance. It's a long ways out there before we get to January and February. It's not easy, but you know, we do it for the people that listen to The Daily Dose. Today, we will start previewing each division in the NFL. We will touch on each team. We will predict the order of finish. And then we're even going to let you know who is going to be playing in Super Bowl 54. We have got a ton to get to in our 2019 NFL preview today. And Larry, you know, you and I actually talked last week and we discussed how with all the parity in the NFL, there are just so many divisions that are so hard to predict. I mean, a team can go from worst to first. We see it every single year. A playoff team last year can go to the back of the pack this year. It is so difficult to say in this era because when you look at the NFL right now, the league is basically geared for you to be right around 8-8, and then maybe you have a good coach, maybe you have good players, maybe you have a good quarterback, and that puts you up. Or maybe they're not quite as good, and then you're down. But everyone's right around that same. It's tough to predict all these divisions.
Yeah, it sure is. And the one thing you didn't say, but I know you know it, is injuries, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
changes everything.
It changes everything. And that is just, you know, that kind of razor's edge of where everybody is on that 8-8 schedule there.
Yeah.
Now, there are teams that do a much better job of selecting and coaching talent. You know, we see those year in, year out. But for the majority of the teams, that's exactly the case. A bad break here, a good coach there, that determines, you know, the difference between, you know, maybe a 9-win team and a 10-win team. And that's who gets that wild card,
sure,
you know, position. And anything can happen after that, we know. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. And, you know, when we talk about those, when we talk about those records, 8-8, 9-7, 10-6.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's where everybody lives.
It is such a fine line, and the margin for error is so, so small. Like you said, you have somebody get hurt,
yeah,
it all changes.
Yeah,
you have one signing work out, and it all changes. One team that you weren't expecting, it all changes. It's going to be very, very tough. Let's start with a division.
Okay.
And let's start with the AFC East. Now, this is not one of those divisions. We talked about the fine line. You could go from worst to first. We don't know who's going to finish in first, except in the AFC East, where we absolutely know who's going to finish in first.
Yeah.
We already know who's going to win it.
Yeah.
We'll call it right now. We'll start with the first place team, because the New England Patriots have won the AFC East 10 years in a row. They have won 16 of the last 18 AFC East titles. It is dominance, and it isn't changing.
No, and it actually is pathetic. It really is. When you are a fan of Buffalo, Miami, or New York, you have to be despondent, don't you? I mean, you know you're not winning the division.
Nope.
And we'll look at the other divisions in the AFC, but you know you're probably not winning a wild card either.
Right.
It's a losing proposition going into this. And you got to wonder, I mean, do the owners in those other cities, do they just put their arms up and say, you know, it's all right. We're hanging in there.
I do wonder about that.
Obviously not in it to win it. Are they?
Are they doing the best they think that they can? Like, are they sitting there looking around like, hey, we're giving it a shot. Well, what can we do? We're just in here with the Patriots. We're doing the best we can.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, how can you, like, any self-respecting owner in that division, other than the Patriots, look at themselves in the mirror and say,
we're
in this to be competitive?
Do you think are they just waiting it out? Are they just like, hey, Brady's going to retire eventually. Belichick's going to give it up eventually. Let's just wait a few more years.
I think there's a lot of teams in the AFC that are probably playing that strategy. But if you were in that division, I think you would at some point you'd have to come up with some more competitive juice in your system to do something about it. And they just haven't. So this is pathetic in my view.
You know what's interesting to me about the Patriots last year? When you look at the way they played and some of the things they did, I actually think it might have been one of Brady's worst seasons in recent memory. Most interceptions he's thrown since 2013, worst quarterback rating since 2014. And at the same time, it might have been Bill Belichick's one of his best seasons, because we're looking at that team throughout the year and we're going, oh man, flaw, 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 flaw. They can't protect Brady. They can't get a pass rush. And then he kind of just eliminates those flaws. He kind of hides those. And they get to that Super Bowl. And he takes Sean McVay to the woodshed. Yeah. And there's no way around that. I mean, he just whipped him.
Yeah, that actually was kind of awesome to see, to be honest with you, and not being a rooting fan of the Patriots, but kind of always good to see that the old scratchy vet,
sure,
you know, beats the up-and-coming, cocky, offensive, new-minded coordinator. I was okay with that. But we say this every year.
I know.
The Patriots have a 6-game head start on everyone.
Yeah, they do.
They are going to get that number one seed just based on that. They have the time and energy to rest players.
Sure.
So again,
And the crazy thing about the way they operate, they're operating in a different level than everyone else is, because Bill Belichick loses games in October and he doesn't even care.
Right.
He doesn't care. He's like, that's preseason.
Yeah.
That's our real preseason. And then they get to December and he starts going, okay, let's change this. And let's give this team a different look. They don't get to see that. And that quarterback that really likes to do that, Jared Goff, that really likes to, we're going to take that away from him. Let's just see what he does.
Yeah.
And everything starts clicking. Now,
I
know we say it every year. There are some flaws to this team.
There are.
They just lost their starting left tackle again. And they're going to plug in, another guy back in there. They now have starting center David Andrews.
I was going to say,
their his season too, right? is totally in jeopardy. He's got blood clots in his lungs. Yeah. They've tried to make some trades in just the last few days to try to get some offensive line help. There are some things there that you could say, okay, I could see.
Yeah.
Maybe and the end coming, but man.
Could be, but, they've scrapped this thing together before.
Yeah.
I don't know when it was. A couple seasons ago, I think it was even Nate Solder who was, first couple games of the season looked like they should probably cut him.
Right.
Ended up getting his act together. They pieced together another offensive line and did what they did. So, that's just the makeup of the team. They have the time and energy to be able to play, basically, and put things together, because that division is, what it is.
It's so bad. Let's move on from the Patriots and let's go to our number two team. And I'm kind of struggling with who to take at that number two spot in the AFC East. Who are you going with at the number two slot over there?
I don't know that I'm going with anyone.
No one finishes second.
Do I have to?
They're all tied for last.
I mean, honestly, I don't. I mean, you go with the young guy with the Jets. Do you? The Dolphins have a new coach.
Maybe they'll
be a little bit better. I honestly don't know anything about the Bills. They've got who's the quarterback?
Josh Allen.
Allen there. So, he's
a good runner.
Yeah, he can run.
Really run.
His
accuracy is horrible. Oh my goodness.
I can't pick one.
I looked at Tim Tebow and I was like, yeah, he does some things running, but he can't throw. Josh Allen, he's not far off of that mode. Like, it's real, real close. I'm going to go with the New York Jets. And I struggled with that, but you would think quarterback Sam Darnold would be maybe a little bit better. He shows flashes. He showed a ton of flashes when they played the Broncos. I know that.
Yeah.
Good
I
Lord.
Mean, they put some things together last year. So, I'm with you.
They got Le'Veon Bell. He'll probably get hurt in week three.
Yeah. Marijuana suspension.
Yeah, probably. You'd think he'd be on a mission this year to, like, show everybody.
You would.
I know, but.
You would.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Adam Gase, head coach Adam Gase, he's in need of, like, showing something. Greg Williams is their defensive coordinator, and we know he likes to get after quarterbacks, and he's kind of crazy, and he's not above maybe even paying a little money out
and putting bounty on
guys' heads. So I'm going to go with the Jets at 2. And then I went with the Bills at 3.
Okay.
Because I don't know what to think of Josh Allen. Their defense is sometimes pretty scrappy.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah. I don't know. I think if they finish 500, then you're like, yay! I mean, don't you think?
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty confident of the Patriots, like, winning the AFC East, and I'm pretty confident of the Miami Dolphins finishing dead last. That's like that's as much as I have.
I'll go with you.
They're trying to tank.
Yeah.
They've basically got rid of everyone and they're trying to tank and they're trying to get a top pick.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't have a ton of talent. It sounds like they're going to start Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. Here is something crazy to think about. I want to run this by you. We talked about the Patriots just dominating this division, right?
Yeah.
How It's been for years. Every single year, the Patriots kind of just get a pass because the AFC East is so bad.
Yeah.
Of course, they have Tom Brady. Tom Brady.
Yeah.
No argument. One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, right? Absolutely. I want you to think about this for a second, okay? The best option that the Miami Dolphins have right now at quarterback is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's go a little further. The best quarterback that the Buffalo Bills have had in the past 10, 15 years, Ryan Fitzpatrick. The best quarterback the New York Jets have had in the past 10 to 15 years, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick is every bit as responsible for the Patriots being on this run as Tom Brady is.
Yeah, but there you go. Could be. That's you made that connection.
Really,
that's good.
That's really bizarre.
I like that, Glenn.
It's basically, we're going to say Tom Brady is better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. And everybody said, well, yeah, of course he is. No, look a little closer. He really is.
He actually is.
God, it's not good.
That's awesome.
AFC East is just not very good.
What will they do if Ryan Fitzpatrick ever decides to retire?
I know. Because when he leaves,
yeah.
Hey, all bets are off.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, who knows? Maybe there is somebody out there that's better than Tom Brady. I don't know, but it's not Ryan Fitzpatrick. I know that. He is single-handedly responsible for the demise of that AFC East.
And he's made a pretty good living doing
it. He's gotten a lot of money and been really, really bad at playing quarterback.
Is that one of the conspiracy theories then?
I think it should be.
Has Bill Belichick planted Ryan Fitzpatrick?
He just keeps putting in places.
Yeah.
You know who's really good who'd really help you out over at your team? You should pick up Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'll tell you what. There's no quarterback in the league that gives us problems like that guy. Everybody's, Bill Belichick hates playing, he said. I don't know. I think we ought to at least throw that out there. Let's move over to the NFC East. A little bit more tough to predict over on that NFC side. Last year, we saw this division send two teams to the playoffs, both the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. Not only did they make the playoffs, pretty good coming out of one division, they each won a playoff game. Can this division get two or more playoff wins again this year? I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to look at. Let's talk about the NFC East. And Larry, I want to change this up a little bit.
Okay.
Let's start with the last place team.
Okay.
Because like the last one, we knew. Well, like we knew the Patriots going. Okay.
Right.
Now let's go with the dead last place team and we'll work our way up. And if we disagree, we'll kind of, go back and forth and see what we think. But who do you have finishing dead last in the NFC East this year?
I got the Giants finishing last.
Got the Giants. Okay. I understand that.
Yeah.
Why?
They have a problem at quarterback.
Yes, they do.
Jones has played pretty Daniel well. Jones.
Yeah, he's played really well.
He's played really well, so there's going to be a controversy at some point. They traded their receiver. They do have Barkley.
Saquon Barkley is a star, isn't he?
He's
really good.
He is, but he's an injury waiting to happen. I think they're going to rely on him way too heavily. They just have all the kind of elements of a team taking a number of steps back until they kind of figure things out. It's like that can gel.
Sure.
I certainly see that. But it looks like they're going to stick with Manning. I don't have a problem with that. He probably is the better quarterback.
Right.
But people are going to start screaming for the young kid.
Oh, especially in New York.
Yeah. And I think that the competition in the division is just a little higher level than they are. So I think they'll be last.
Well, and I can understand that. One of the biggest problems that they're going to face, one, they don't have any wide receivers for Eli or anyone else to throw to.
Right.
All those guys are gone. You talked about Odell Beckham Jr. leaving, but they've also had a number of injuries, so they have other people gone. The offensive line is not very good at all, which means you're basically going to ask Saquon Barkley to do everything. You hope he stays healthy.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be screaming for Eli. But the most disappointing thing about the New York Giants to me, that defense has been terrible.
Yeah.
We're so used to the Giants always kind of having this tough defense.
They're not
good. That hasn't been the case lately.
Yeah, they get picked apart. They're not good. They just have not done, they just haven't built their team over the last few years the way they need to be competitive, I think. So, the other division opponents, I think, know that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I've got the Giants at third, but I can understand them finishing last. I'm going to go with my fourth place team. Larry, I really don't like the Washington Redskins. And it's not just from a talent standpoint. They've got some problems in that locker room. They've got some big problems. Starting offensive tackle Trent Williams he's holding out, doesn't want to come into camp, but it's not because he wants more money.
Yeah.
He wants the training staff fired because they misdiagnosed him.
Yeah.
As a team, as a franchise owner, what can you do? You gotta move the guy, don't you?
Well, you do, because it sounds like there's no resolution there. It's not like you said, it's not like they can offer him more money. Money's not the issue.
No, he wants staff fired.
Yeah. And I don't even know if he wants staff fired. I think he just wants out.
Yeah, I think he does too.
I think he just is said that he will not play. So they have a huge problem there.
And then rookie quarterback Dwayne Haskins.
Didn't look good, huh?
No, he didn't look good at all. And I watched him at Ohio State. I liked a lot of the things that he brings to the table. But
Program's different.
Is not ready. He's not ready at all.
Yeah.
Here's the bad part. That means Case Keenum is probably going to be your starter.
And we've seen that movie.
You already know how this ends. And how it ends is that Haskins is eventually going to come into that game.
Right.
And it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
I don't know. That Trent Williams situation makes me worry about like a mutiny in the locker room. Head coach Jay Gruden, he's on a hot seat. I think they're just a mess.
Yeah.
So Giants, Redskins, I'm fine with either one of those teams. They both, to me, look like they are the two worst teams in that division.
Yeah, I totally agree. The Redskins would have been the second worst in my book. Like you said, if they do have a switch up at quarterback, which is likely, either could happen.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Okay, so now it's going to get interesting. Because now we're going to move up to the second place team. Who do you have finishing second in the NFC East?
I got the Cowboys finishing second.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. I mean, I get the Dak Prescott, he's young, he looks okay.
Yeah.
They've got some weapons, but they don't have Elliott in camp.
No.
And they may not have him there for a while.
It doesn't sound like that's going to end.
Yeah.
Not anytime soon. It sounds like they're kind of going to roll it out and see what it looks like without him.
Yeah. And so I think what Jerry Jones was the one who said they didn't need, Zeke to win a Super Bowl an all-pro running back, which is true. You don't. But, man, it helps.
Well, and especially with that team and the way they're kind of built. And you talked about Dak Prescott. Here's a guy. I don't know if he is the guy that, hey, just put it all on my back and I'll just lead us that way.
Right.
No, he's much, much better when he's handing off to Zeke. And then he's doing some play action stuff.
Yep.
He's doing some rollout stuff. That's a much different looking team. Not only does it help Dak, it helps that defense.
Yeah.
So you hit on that. I think this is a much different looking team. You know, the interesting thing about the Dallas Cowboys, because we're so used to, for years, at least we're old enough to remember, the Dallas Cowboys were great. Hey, under Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys are an 8-8 team stinking year.
Yeah, they really haven't been good.
So last year they go 11-5.
Everybody,
statistically,
they're
going to fall back this year.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do.
Yes. Yeah. I do agree with that. And if they don't get some of those problems fixed, I've heard the health of the offensive line isn't great.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not 100% sold on Prescott, you know?
Especially without help.
Right.
He needs guys around him.
So I think that's going to be maybe exposed a little bit. So we'll see. But yeah, they've got enough there to be the second place team in that division.
I guess. I think they do. Hey, I got a joke for you.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Exactly. That's a joke from Jerry Jones.
That's right. Yeah. That went over well, didn't it?
Yeah. It went over really well. I'm sure Zeke was thrilled to hear.
Zeke who?
I look at Dak Prescott. He feels like a leader. He feels like he's going to be the leader of this football team. And I feel confident going into the season, we're the team to beat. Get out of here. You need Zeke bad.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Okay, so then I think we obviously agree on our top team in the NFC East, don't we?
Yeah, the Eagles.
Yeah.
You know, I think for a number of reasons. From what I read, the jury's still out on Wentz.
I just wish we knew if he was healthy.
I get that, but they're a good all-around team.
Yeah, it's not just him.
No, it's not. And that's fine. I mean, those are the teams that, you know, eventually rise to the top. They may be, you know, one game or two games better than Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, you never really know.
Right.
But they'll be better.
Yeah. The two questions we have for Carson Wentz are the same that we've had the last couple of years. Can he stay healthy? Can he return to the form we saw 2 years ago? Because, man, 2 years ago, I'm looking at him and going, he is a like once in a lifetime kind of guy. He's special.
Yeah.
And if he returns to that, and maybe we didn't see that last year because he wasn't fully healthy. And I'm okay with, let's kind of think that way. But if he returns to form, they're going to be really, really good. And that defense, all they do is cause turnovers. And they if you do. Win that turnover battle, you're going to be in good shape in almost every single game. The Eagles are going to be very, very good this year.
Yeah, and I don't watch all the moves that they're making over there. But let's be honest, if you can win the Super Bowl, you know, like they did a couple of years ago with backup quarterback, you've got a lot of good pieces.
Yeah.
And they haven't lost a lot. You know, like I said, I haven't watched every move.
No, that there, defensive line is going to be very, very tough. They've got some depth. They've got they still got a running game. You know, you hope that everybody stays healthy. But if they do, yeah, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be a load over in that NFC East.
Yep.
Hey, coming back, we have now discussed the AFC and NFC East. Did you agree with us? Did you disagree? We would love to hear from you. But we aren't done. We still have a lot of NFL to talk today. When we get back, we are going to be continuing our 2019 NFL preview. Now, let's continue our 2019 Daily Dose NFL preview, and let's jump back into the AFC North. Larry, next up, we have a division that could be like completely inverted as to how it did a year ago. I'm not sure what in the world to expect from the AFC North. Yeah. Last year, the Baltimore Ravens win the division. The Cleveland Browns show a little bit of life. The Cincinnati Bengals were injured like they are every year. And the Pittsburgh Steelers completely imploded. But I don't know. It's going to be a very, very different year this year. Let's discuss this AFC North. It's going to be an interesting division. If you were picking that last place team in the North, who would you be going with?
I'm going with the Ravens.
Going with the Ravens. Ooh, see, I like that pick. I had the pick. I had the Ravens down at four. I switched that. But let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens because I don't have them very much further ahead. I know they won the division last year. They go to the playoffs last year. But didn't it kind of feel like they snuck up on some teams that weren't expecting what they saw from that Ravens, especially down the stretch?
Yeah. Yes, for sure. And things have completely changed.
Oh, yeah.
Flip-flop for the Ravens. And I don't think that that's going to be the case this year in terms of them being able to sneak up on anybody. I don't have a lot of confidence in their quarterback.
No, not yet.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be their downfall. Their defense isn't as strong as it typically has been.
Right.
Their front office has taken a step back, right?
Well, you lose Ozzie Newsome. That's a big, big loss. But it's interesting when you look at that team last year, Lamar Jackson takes over that team in week 9. And that's a team sitting at 4-5. And everybody's kind of writing them off and saying it's over. Jackson enters the game for Joe Flacco, and it's a completely different look, and teams have no idea how to play him. He's running all over the place. He doesn't necessarily prove he can throw the ball, but I think it took teams by surprise. They weren't sure how to play him. And then you see in the playoffs, the Chargers are like, oh, no, we'll just spy him the whole game, and that'll be the end of that.
Yeah.
And it totally was.
Ended up proving he could not throw the ball.
Right.
Right? So yeah. And you know, let's be honest. NFL teams are susceptible to running quarterbacks. When they first see them.
When they first see them. And then they start taking that stuff away.
And then that's done, right? Yeah. So yeah. So, and maybe it has a little more to do with some of the other teams in this division, but I see them taking significant steps back, especially with his development, Jackson's development, and figuring out how they use him. And he'll be susceptible to injury.
Sure.
That's always a consideration.
He's a slight guy, too. He's not a big guy.
Right.
He's a very slight guy. And you have to think teams are going to look at that Los Angeles Chargers film from the playoff game. All offseason, teams are looking and saying, okay, how are we going to stop that guy? How are we going to stop that team? I guarantee these other NFC North teams looked at that film all summer and said, hey, we're just going to do that.
Right.
And they'll probably have some success. I didn't have the Ravens at four. I actually had a different team at four. And let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals.
I had a feeling.
Did you have them at three?
I did have them at three. Yeah.
And I had almost talked myself into moving them up to three because when you look at Cincinnati, last year they start the season like 4-1.
Yeah.
And then they start getting injured and they start getting, and you see it go down. Everybody goes, oh, well, Cincinnati sucks.
Kind of seems like that's what they always do.
I don't know if they suck. Yeah. They have some talent. But then already we've seen AJ Green go down with an injury this year. And I said, oh, God, it might be just happening again. I'm keeping the Bengals at the back of the pack. I wish they'd stay healthy because this team does have some talent, and they do have a new head coach in Zach Taylor. I don't know if he's going to be any better. He's a young guy. He'll bring some excitement. He'll bring some energy.
I think that's a hope for them.
Yeah. After Marvin Lewis there.
Honestly, you got to have a change there, and they do now. So hopefully that invigorates them, right? I know what they have on offense.
Sure.
I don't, you know, I don't
really
know.
They've got some talent on the defensive front.
They do. They always have. Mm. We'll see if their secondary can hold up. So, yeah, I'm with, I could put them either, you know, last or second to last. Dalton is, he's a good quarterback. He's been there. He's done. I kind of look at him as the Joe Flacco.
Sure.
You know?
Big, strong guy.
Yeah.
Make all the throws.
Right.
Can you make the throws in crunch time?
And that does matter. If you have a stabilizing, force on offense there. So I think they got some pieces there, but, I don't see them in the upper echelon.
Right. So we're pretty much in agreement. We've got Baltimore and Cincinnati at either 3 or 4. Now it's going to get interesting.
Yeah.
Because who do you have at number 2?
So I have Cleveland at number 2.
We agree.
Yeah.
We've got the Browns at number 2.
Yeah.
This is going to be a very, very interesting team. And I expect the Browns to at least be in a playoff chase. They've got a ton of talent on this roster. You've got quarterback Baker Mayfield. You've got running backs Nick Chubb. And eventually, they're going to have Kareem Hunt, wide receivers Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr.
They've got all kinds of stuff.
This is not a franchise used to having any expectations.
No, you're right. The expectations have been nil for these guys.
Yeah.
They will have some this year.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see what the fans say in Cleveland.
How's their reaction?
Are they just happy that they're kind of like being talked about?
Right.
Or are they going to turn on their team when they don't produce?
If they don't produce, yeah. Right. Because
it's been a long time.
Hey, this last year, they win a game and everyone's losing their mind and getting t-shirts. They won one game.
Right.
It's different.
Yeah.
When you're like, okay, so we open this year with like Tennessee at home.
Yeah.
What happens if they lose that game?
Right.
Like are we gonna have booing?
Yeah.
How dare you lose?
Right, exactly.
We expect to win this. And you know the one interesting thing that I keep going back to when I look at these Browns, because I wanted to talk myself into having the Browns at first place, right? But for all the talent we just talked about, Baker and Nick Chubb and Landry and Beckham, I didn't mention one guy in the offensive line. And that's going to be really, really important.
That is. You're
because
right.
That offensive line, I don't think is very good. And if it's not good, kid yourself all you want to. You're not going to win as many games as you think you are.
Here's the deal. There are so many new pieces.
Yeah.
How often does anything like this
come out perfect?
And head coach. We haven't talked about the head coach.
Excellent point.
Brand new head coach.
Don't even know this guy.
Right. He's never been Freddie a head coach,
Kitchens
has he?
Is a new head coach.
Yeah.
We know nothing about him.
He may be a great head coach.
He might be the next Bill Belichick.
Right. We don't know.
Or he might not.
And he might
be the next Vance Joseph. We have no idea.
No idea. So they have so many new pieces, mm-hmm. and good for them. It's all
sure. At least there's some excitement because they haven't had anything to cheer about in years.
It's all coming together for them, right?
Yes.
But how often does everything go to plan? And they got to put it together. And they've got to beat the Steelers, who both you and I now know that
are going to be the we're picking as the top team in the North.
Right.
Hey, and these other two teams that we talked about. The Ravens and the Bengals, they're not rolling over for them.
No.
They fully think, we can still beat the Browns. We beat them every year. Are you kidding me?
Right.
We always beat them.
This is not.
You have to change that whole mindset.
Yeah, that's true. And that division, I think maybe more than any others, they play each other really, really tough.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it's a tight division. Even when the Browns are down, they would still
competing.
Give these guys games. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We're going to probably see a very, very tight division in here, but we do seem to agree. I know all the talk is about those Browns, and we haven't really heard one peep out of Pittsburgh this offseason.
Yeah, they've been pretty quiet.
Le'Veon Bell's gone.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown is gone.
Yeah.
I think those Steelers are just lying in the weeds, I think they're really dangerous.
Yeah, and you might have a more optimistic view than I do. I think – when I look at the conference as a whole, right, I see the Browns getting in maybe with a wild card.
Sure.
The Pittsburgh Steelers win the division, but maybe not by much,
Yeah.
I think it's
going to be tight.
Could be either a 9 or 10 win division win.
Wins it.
Type deal. And again, the Browns, if they win, 9 games, get in the wild card just based on everything else that's happening in the AFC.
Sure.
But But I don't, you know, you don't, if you're the Steelers, you got to account for an Antonio Brown. You got to account for a Le'Veon Bell, you know, and I don't know that they have the pieces to completely fill those shoes. They've done okay.
Yeah. Last year, Ben Roethlisberger throws for 5,000 yards without either of those two guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be a load. James Conner's a tough dude.
Yep.
You've got a guy like James Washington. You know what bothers me? Why do I just know that rookie inside linebacker Devin Bush is just he's going to be
great. He's going to be great.
And the Broncos bypass him and hey, no, you take him. We don't want him. We have plenty of great linebackers. And he's going to go to Pittsburgh and he's going to be a superstar.
Yeah.
And we're going to go, "Oh yeah, we could have taken him."
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think the Steelers are going to be the class of that division. And like I said, I expect that to be tight. I expect all four of those teams to be right there. It's going to be a tough division. I just think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be better than everybody else. And they've been doing it for so much longer. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I agree. Yep.
All right. Let's move over to the black and blue division. The NFC North features some of the oldest rivalries in the NFL. But lately, doesn't it kind of seem like the NFC North is underachieving just a little bit? We're going to see if they can turn around. I know last year, some of the teams we were looking at as being the big dogs in the league, they didn't exactly show up. Larry, let's move over to the NFC North. And this is a division that I'm telling you, I wrote down four teams and then I erased them all and I wrote them in a different order. And I did that about five or six times before I finally came out with an order that I'm still not fully sure of.
I totally agree with you. I'm going to tell you something, you know, now that I'll completely regret in, you know, a half hour.
Sure.
Because I just don't know. And I don't know that any of these teams know either.
No, it's going to be really, really tough because every single team, I can talk myself into every team almost winning the division. Yeah. And I can talk myself into every team here finishing last.
Yeah.
It's really, really going to be a tough one. All right, let's kick it off. Let's get it started. Who do you have finishing dead last?
You make me always go first.
You want me to go first? I'll go first if you want. Okay. I've got the team that I think is going to go dead last.
Okay.
And I'm gonna take the easy one. I'm gonna take the layup. Yeah. The Detroit Lions brought in longtime Patriots defensive coordinator Matt Patricia to be their new head coach last year after they went 9-7 the year before under Jim Caldwell. So Patricia figured everything out and they went 6-10 last year.
it is kind of a layup. I always want to believe in the Lions.
I know. Actually came through, but they never do.
Right, but they don't.
No.
So I'm not gonna bet against them. Right? Or I'm not going to
bet for them, you know, for them or against them, whatever. Yeah,
against them.
Are you sticking with Detroit dead last?
I got to stick with them. I just don't know any way out of that because I've done this in the past. I'm not getting burned again, man.
Exactly. We have a couple teams that have burned us in the past we're going to be talking about today. I promise you that because I have a couple other teams that I was like, man, I'm not falling for that nonsense again. I've fallen for that before.
Burn me three times.
Eventually, I'm going to learn.
Yeah.
It only takes me a few times to get burned.
Yeah.
The Lions did go out and get defensive end Trey Flowers. Try to improve that pass rush. You know the crazy thing about the Lions? The defense was not that bad.
It's not the defense.
It's the offense, wouldn't think, hey, you got Matt Stafford. Right. Go out and get some wide receivers. Go do anything. The Detroit Lions offense ranked 24th last year in yardage and 25th in points scored.
Every game I watch, there's something going on. Like,
it's weird.
They're in great position. They
just come through.
They have a chance. They just don't come through.
No, they don't.
Honestly, that's what it is. They just don't come through.
And you know, the sad part, now they're saying quarterback Matt Stafford has been missing like practices and stuff, attending to his wife who's having like some serious health issues.
Yeah, she
is. So he's gone.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that galvanizes Matt Stafford. Maybe that fixes everything and everybody, hey, we're going to band together. Or maybe they just go 5-11 again.
Yeah, they'll go 5-11. They may win six games. It's just Detroit.
It's what they do.
Yeah,
it's just what they do. And the other thing is, we've got three other teams here that are gonna be a pain. So it's not like Detroit is just going out and totally, you know, pooping the bed. I mean, they're gonna be playing some really tough competition. Now it's gonna get interesting. Who do you have finishing at number three?
None of these others are world killers. Let's be honest. They're none of them.
Know what to expect.
And I'll just say the Packers are not on the level that they've been. The Bears, everybody wants to believe, but can you?
I don't know.
And the Vikings, you know, you just don't know about either. My pick for the second worst team will be the Vikings.
Okay, you've got the Vikings coming in at number three.
Yeah.
I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna hold out on the Vikings for a minute.
That's fine.
What aren't you liking about the Vikings?
I just don't have any confidence in them.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, part of it. And their defense is supposed to be pretty strong.
Yeah.
Right?
It was supposed to be last year, and it sure wasn't.
Yeah, they lost McKinnon.
Yeah.
Who I think was a big part of their offense. They've got a couple receivers, but you know, the best season those receivers had was Case Keenum throwing to them,
which is
2 years
so
ago.
So bizarre.
So, my viewpoint kind of changes a little bit. I know they're good, but if Cousins can't, be the guy that they expected him to be, and I don't think he was last year, if the defense doesn't perform, which I think is completely reasonable. Right.
I don't have any idea what to expect from that defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they, on paper, they look good. They are aging. They are getting old. And you don't exactly know on the aging team, hey, are we going to get the old band of brothers that's going to come together and be really good? Or are we going to get the team that you're like, you guys are old and slow.
I think there's just way too many things out there that
there are. There's a lot of questions about that team.
So that's my second to last.
All right. I'm going to flip things up on you because I am going to go with the Chicago Bears at three.
Yeah.
And I'm still not completely sold on Mitchell Trubisky. I don't know what to expect from him.
I don't think anybody else does either.
You know, when I looked at Mitch Trubisky, remember when they first went out, they traded up and they moved up in the draft and they got him. And you saw there was like one preseason game that you were like, oh my God, this kid's got – that was it.
Yeah.
Since then, I don't have a clue. They trade away running back Jordan Howard. He's gone. And I'm a little bit concerned for the Bears that defense is not going to be quite as good without that defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio. I think he's a pretty good defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Now, maybe Trubisky improves a little. Maybe the defense at least is steady. Chuck Pagano, though, is now the defensive coordinator in Chicago. And he has never been a guy that you go, hey, I don't know what we have this year, but I know we've got Chuck Pagano organizing our defense, so we're going to be in great shape.
That's what I was just going to say. I don't think anybody really has the confidence. And that's been the meat and potatoes for Chicago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that defense has carried them. Last year, they were dominating.
They've never had an offensive juggernaut of any form or shape. I do think that a lot of people think, Chicago is on the up and coming. Yeah. Right?
Sure, they should be.
They have a young quarterback.
Young quarterback, and
that's what it's all about. So if he does well, I think that there may be in the upper echelon of that division. If he doesn't, they won't go anywhere.
Here's one thing that concerns me about the Bears. They had, by numbers of starters, they had the least amount of injuries in the league last year. Those things usually even out. I am worried that the Bears are going to have like a ton of guys just drop off the map because of injuries this year. And if that happens, Chicago's going to take a little bit of a step back.
Yeah.
They are riding with Mitch Trubisky. He needs to step up and be the quarterback they hoped he was when they drafted him. And if he is, things are going to be fine. I don't have that much faith in him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put the Bears at three.
Okay.
So now we get up to number two. Who do you have at two?
So I've got the Chicago Bears at number two, and I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers at number one.
Okay. I have the Vikings at one. Yeah.
Okay.
I have no faith in whatsoever. But let's talk about the Green Bay Packers, because I don't think the Packers have done a good enough job of surrounding Aaron Rodgers with enough talent. And at some point, and we know this because we went through this, you start to look back and go, what would have happened if you'd actually given this guy some talent to play with? Because we did that for years here in Denver, and we gave him, the Sammy Winders and the Gerald Wilhites and the Ricky Natiles, and then went, why isn't this guy winning more? and then you go out and you get some actual studs around him, and you go, oh, yeah, he is pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah.
I worry for the Packers. I worry for Packers fans, and I worry for Aaron Rodgers. We probably should have done a little more while we had this guy in the fold here.
Yeah. You know, what I kind of thought about was how Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck's situations are a little bit similar.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they just didn't surround, or they haven't, the Packers haven't surrounded Aaron Rodgers with enough great pieces. And he's obviously a great quarterback. Same with Andrew Luck. And I know we'll talk about, him and his retirement, but, they just seem to be kind of similar,
They
just didn't do enough for their quarterbacks to give them the opportunity to win more.
Well, and you do wonder, they're going to look back at some point and just say, we didn't put enough around them. Now, I do wonder this year, if with the Packers having new head coach, they go get Matt LaFleur, young guy. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to listen to a word he has to say. I don't have any idea what to think of that. The one thing I wonder with the Packers, I almost get the feeling like Aaron Rodgers is going to come into this season and be like, look, I'm just going to put everything on my back and I'm going to carry this team as far as I possibly can. And that's why I would have him at two. That's why I would put them at that high, because I just think Rodgers is going to try to prove he's the best guy.
Yeah. And that's why I have him at number one. I think he really is far and above any other quarterback in that division.
Yeah.
I think that means a lot.
Sure.
And I think that actually means everything, you know, with just how we're comparing these teams. And I don't know if the Vikings have enough. So
no, I'm
putting the Packers at number one.
And I completely understand that. I do have the Minnesota Vikings at number one, and I'm sure I'm going to regret making this choice. I think they have more talent across the board than everyone else in the division. But they didn't even make the playoffs last year, and this is basically the same team. So I totally understand that. Last year was basically a Super Bowl or bust kind of year. Yeah. And not even Super Bowl. Like, I don't even think making it would have been enough. If they would have gone last year and lost the Super Bowl, everybody would have been like, yeah, it's the same old Vikings. Who cares? Right. Instead, they're horrible. They don't even make the playoffs. But here is the one thing that I wonder about. For one, hey, Minnesota is not going to do well with high expectations. Let's all be real clear about that. We know that. But they do go out and they hire Gary Kubiak to come in and work with Kirk Cousins. Now, we know we can kind of, I guess, discuss whether or not Gary Kubiak is a great head coach or whatever. He has proven to be a pretty good offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
He did a pretty good job with Joe Flacco back when he was in Baltimore.
Yep.
I'm wondering if maybe he can get Kirk Cousins not to be great. I'm not asking for that. Can you just be competent?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that's the problem. Who is Kirk Cousins?
I mean, we
saw him in Washington, but
yeah.
Washington didn't care to lock him up.
No.
They, you know, so I don't know what he is.
I don't either. I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue what in the world to even think about this NFC North. It is one of the toughest divisions. I went through and I was like, okay, I could see you winning it. I probably put every team at the top and erased them.
Yeah.
Except for the Lions. And the Lions, I was like, okay, it's still the Lions or whatever.
But even at the Lions. Even the Lions, if everything goes their way.
If everything just breaks right.
Then they, you know, they're like a 12-4 team.
Yeah. Yeah. The NFC North is a crazy division. It's going to be fun to watch. And I mean, you want to talk about the prime example. We talked about this earlier. The prime example of how the NFL is geared for everyone to go 8-8. Every team in that division is geared to go 8-8. Okay. Who's going to make that little bit of a move, a little bit of a tweak that puts you over the top?
Right. Yeah.
Hey, next week on The Dose, we need to finish up our NFL preview and continue this conversation with Larry. We still have the AFC South. We still have the NFC South. And we have the AFC and NFC West divisions to get to. I know the season is already underway. We're still going to let you know how this season's going to end up. Plus, you know, Larry and I need to make our picks for which teams are actually going to make the playoffs and which two teams are going to be going to Super Bowl 54. So you've got to make sure that you tune in next week for that. Hey, I have to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you so much for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you so much for sharing the show with someone you know, whether you give it to a coworker, a friend, a family member. Thank you so much. We love it when you do that. Hey, I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great week, everybody. I will see you all next Wednesday. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Ezekiel Elliott.